Module 7, Communication. Civility is not rocket science. To a large extent, civility is all about effective communications, sending messages clearly and completely, and receiving messages accurately. But while many presume that communication occurs naturally, the reality is, communication is a skill that must be studied, practiced, and developed. There are many nuances to communication that would take time to understand. In this module, we will discuss two kinds of communication that often result in misunderstandings in the workplace: paraverbal communication and nonverbal communication. We will also present two skills that can help significantly improve communication in a company or organization. These two skills are listening and appreciative inquiry. Paraverbal communication. Paraverbal communication refers to the messages that we send using our vocal intonation, pitch, volume, emphasis, and pacing of words. Basically, paraverbal communication refers to how we say something, not the exact words we use. If you've ever heard someone tell you, "Well, you sounded sad," or "the way you said that word," it's as if you're implying something, then that person is likely referring to your paraverbal communication. Consider the way the sentence, "I didn't know that you wanted to buy that dress," changes meaning if you change the word emphasized. "I didn't know that you wanted to buy that dress." "I didn't know that you wanted to buy that dress." "I didn't know that you wanted to buy that dress." "I didn't know that you wanted to buy that dress." "I didn't know that you wanted to buy that dress." "I didn't know that you wanted to buy that dress." Depending on the word you choose to emphasize, you can be chastising someone for failing to inform you of wanting to buy a certain dress, or expressing shock that a particular individual likes a particular outfit. Given the many possible variations in volume, intonation, and other vocal elements possible during a conversation, it's not surprising that ineffective use of paraverbal communication can result in miscommunication and conflicts in the workplace. What must be asked from every member of an organization is at least awareness of how one speaks. It's not at all times that we are conscious of our paraverbal communication. When tired or stressed out, you may be speaking in a volume lower than our usual. Hence, the people you talk to may assume that you're disappointed or unenthusiastic. If you're used to being in a position of power, for instance, you're the eldest in the family, you may tend to constantly speak in an authoritative tone. Without awareness, you can't communicate deliberately, that is, intentionally creating the messages that you want to send. Nonverbal communication. Nonverbal communication refers to the messages that we send through our body language, example, our facial expression, gestures, and posture. Examples of nonverbal communication include eye contact, smiles, the way shoulders are hunched when standing up or sitting down, gestures of affection such as a touch on the back, mannerisms while speaking, example, constantly looking at one's watch, and the use of personal space through body language, example, taking in most of the room in a relatively spacious couch. Like paraverbal communication, nonverbal communication is separate and distinct from the actual words a person uses to convey a thought or idea. In fact, nonverbal communication can contradict verbal communication. A person can say he or she is happy, for example, but the sad tilt in his or her lips will communicate that happiness is the last feeling she's experiencing. Without eye contact, a claim of high self-confidence can easily be refuted. How important are nonverbal communication? The answer, very. Studies show that as much as 80% of the messages people receive from others come from their nonverbal behavior. This result implies that effective nonverbal communication may in fact be more important than effective verbal communication. Understandably, awareness and deliberation when it comes to nonverbal communication is critical in developing the value of civility in the workplace. Listening skills. Active listening refers to the deliberate effort to attend to what a person is communicating, both verbally and nonverbally. Most of the time, all an angry person needs is an opportunity to tell someone how they feel and have their feelings acknowledged. Seeing that you are genuinely listening to their grievance can help lessen the intensity of their angry reaction. The following are some helpful components of active listening. Showing nonverbally that you are listening. Make sure that your posture shows openness. Establish eye contact. Speak in a soft, well-modulated, non-threatening tone of voice. Reflecting verbal and nonverbal communication. Restate what you hear from the person. Example, "This is what I heard from you. You're mad because the package did not arrive on time." You can also mirror back their body language in a tentative but objective, non-judgmental fashion. For example, "I can see that you're really upset. You are clasping the desk very tightly." Clarify. Help the person make sense of their garbled, confusing, and/or illogical statements. Could you help explain to me a bit more about what happened in the cafeteria? What do you mean by, he bullied you? Appreciative inquiry. Appreciative inquiry is a research technique commonly used in organizational development and community building. Its main distinction from other methods of inquiry is its premium on surfacing and affirming positive dynamics among groups of people, as opposed to looking for problems and/or dysfunction. Indeed, for practitioners of appreciative inquiry, every organization has done something right, something worth doing all over again. So instead of asking, what is wrong with us, facilitators practicing appreciative inquiry ask, what have we been doing well? For the process of appreciative inquiry to work best, it's important that researchers solicit the input of all members of the organization, from the highest ranking of management to the person sitting on the bottom rung of the company structure. Each opinion must be given equal weight in the development of company policy. Two basic assumptions form the bedrock of appreciative inquiry. These assumptions are, number one, organizations always move towards the direction that their members ask and the things they talk about. Number two, energy for positive change is created when organizations engage in continually remembering and analyzing circumstances when they are at their best rather than focusing on problems and how they can be solved. Appreciative inquiry works using the 4D cycle. Discovery. People often talk to one another, often via structured interviews, to discover the times when their organization is at its best. These stories are told as richly as possible. Dream. The dream phase is commonly run as a large group conference with the help of facilitators. People are encouraged to envision the organization as though the peak moments identified in the discovery phase were the norm instead of the exception. Design. A team is empowered to go away and design ways to create the organization dreamed in the large group conference. Delivery. The final phase delivers the dream and the new design. It is one of experimentation and improvisation. Teams are formed to follow up on the design elements and to continue the appreciative process. This phase may itself contain more small-scale appreciative inquiries into specific aspects of organizational life. Case study. John Smith is a newly hired manager at XYZ Company. A retired military officer, John Smith is used to hierarchical organizations and expects his staff members to defer without question to his judgment as supervisor. The team's previous supervisor, however, had been keener on participative approaches. Hence, John's directive style is causing resistance and resentment among his team. John decides to be flexible. He appreciates that civilian companies can't and shouldn't be ran like the military. He starts a focus group discussion to get what the staff members think of the company's current performance. He researched the right questions to ask so as to encourage the participation of his staff. And yet, despite his efforts to be the first one to reach out, his subordinates remain lacking in enthusiasm, even a bit fearful of his presence. A communications coach was hired to analyze John's problem in dealing with his staff members. The coach gave John a feedback on his nonverbal and paraverbal behavior. According to the coach, even if the words that John uses favor a more democratic style of leadership, he still appears and sounds like an army general barking orders. After gaining awareness of his nonverbal and paraverbal communication, John trained on how to be more congruent to what he wants to say. Eventually, he was able to build solid rapport with his staff members.